Hey there, and welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast, the show designed to teach you how to sell, how to build systems, create strategy, and of course, how to become a marketing genius. What's up, everybody? Grant Wise here. Welcome to the Marketing Genius Podcast. I am joined today by the man, the myth, the legend, Mr. Chris Smith, author, speaker, entrepreneur, just an extraordinary human being. His most recent book, The Conversion Code, was an absolutely amazing, amazing book that gave you a lot of practical advice for converting leads, marketing in your business, sales. These guys do some incredible, incredible things. Man, Chris, thanks so much for stopping by and chatting with us today.
Happy to be here. Thank you. You can keep going. I mean, I'm loving
it. Stroke the ego just a little bit more. Just keep that running a little bit.
Did you say brilliant? I don't know.
Yeah, I did. I think I said brilliant, cool. Incredible mad scientist. So, dude, dive into it. Just tell us a little bit about yourself. Just give us a little bit of the backstory. I know that a lot of people are familiar with it, but how did you get to where you are today?
Well, I would never assume people know who I am or what I've done, but some of the people watching may have. But the quick backstory is pretty simple. It's all in my book. I just blessed to work for two different billionaires. So I worked for Lou Pearlman, who was the inventor of the Backstreet Boys and Britney Spears and NSYNC. And then I worked for Dan Gilbert, who is the founder and creator of Quicken Loans. And I learned a lot of like phone sales, right? Like dial for dollars, churn and burn, buy or die, how to overcome objections, how to close, how to pitch, you know, all the kind of traditional sales skills. And then I ended up working at Realtor.com, which is obviously a well-known billion-dollar company. I was selling CRM, like top producer, selling online advertising packages. And during that experience, I started a blog called Tech Savvy Agent. And that was really when my career took off. I was really just the rep for top producer in Florida, but I started putting like videos and podcasts and, you know, email newsletter. And this is like 08 or 09. So definitely super early days. Like it's so much harder to do today from scratch than it was then. Like back then, you know, if you were decent, your following would grow. Nowadays, you know, to grow a following, it's really a lot more work. So there was a little bit of an early advantage mover. 08, 09, barely people had YouTube. You know, people were still saying Facebook was dumb. You know, people were basically trashing digital and telling agents to stick with traditional tactics. And I was just kind of young and dumb and didn't know any better. And I'm like, yeah, I'm pretty sure Facebook's going to do better than a billboard. I'm pretty sure email's a little more popular than real mail at this point. So yeah, I worked for top producer and Realtor.com. I'm very proud of the fact that I worked for the largest lender and the largest portal at the time. I don't think anybody else had that experience. And then I ended up working a little bit with Dotloop through their acquisition by Zillow. And at the end of this process, I started Curator, which is where we're at now. You know, that's Tyler, our head of our marketer program. Annette's over there doing social media for us. Lauren's over there, you know, writing articles and doing stuff for agents right now. So we have two offices, Orlando and Boston. We have 1,000 customers, and we help them grow their business by creating content, running ads, and sending emails that work. And so that's really the whole backstory as quickly as I can give it.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. That's a great story too. I've studied you a little bit, and you've definitely had some success everywhere you've been. And in your book, you detail some of that, and you pull a lot of those lessons into things that real estate agents can do today.
Well, let me give you one of the biggest problems with coaches in this industry, if you don't mind, because you're a coach, right?
Let's go. I'm a marketing guy.
So I saw you wearing the referee, so I thought I thought you might be a coach. But like, there's so many coaches in the industry, and at the end of the day, it's like people all act like they're smarter than everyone else, and we're all just learning. We're all just testing. Like anyone that does marketing for a living knows that it's just an idea that you had that you tried that did good or bad that you then do again or not. So it just feels like, you know, watching the industry and watching how a lot of the coaching is done, it's just not relevant. It's like, how many times can you tell me to do the same stuff over and over? So I think what happened with yourself and with people like myself and Curator, you know, ultimately the new stuff's more fun. Yeah. The new stuff's more exciting. The new stuff works and it's fun to do. You know, like, is it really fun to knock on doors? You know what I'm saying? I understand that it's fun when it works. You know what I'm saying? I understand it's when someone calls, off the mail, it's fun. But like the new stuff works too. And I think that's really where I was able to make a name for myself. And I think where agents can do the same is, what are all the old school traditional agents kind of putting a line in the sand and saying, I'm not going to do? You go do it and have that blind faith that it's going to work. But anyway, I don't even know where I was heading with that, but
that's okay.
We do marketing for agents and we help them grow their business. And we basically execute the conversion code, which is proven tactics. Oh, I know what I was going to say, Grant. The majority of the coaches and the influencers in this industry, they don't give the credit where the credit's due. That's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Because what they do is they act like every idea is theirs. Every quote's theirs. Every tip's theirs. Every tactic's theirs. And as you said, I'm saying, this is what I learned here. Here's how to apply it to your business. Then here's what I learned from this guy. Then here's another great quote I got. Here's a stat I pulled from here. And I don't try to portray any of these as necessarily original ideas. I give credit where credit's due. And I think the coaches could do a better job of that.
For sure. I agree wholeheartedly. Talking about making this shift, you've got a bunch of coaches and a bunch of brokers. I think brokers aren't to be left out of that equation too, that are saying, go, here's the phone book, you know, go hit this neighborhood. Here's my junk mail guy, call him, he'll take care of you. How, if somebody's listening to this right now, what would you give? Just like two or three simple things that somebody could do to make that shift from what I'm being told over here that's almost like painful now because we as a society don't like it. Like it's painful for me to, I got to listen to my affirmations, get all jacked up to go make calls or to go do the door knocking thing. Like, how do I make that shift? I want to do it, Chris, but like, how do I practically go from here to here?
Well, I would say practically, if the old school stuff works, then you should take the ROI from that and invest it in the new stuff, and you should replace yourself. So like, you don't have to be the one that knocks on the doors. You don't have to be the one that mails the stuff. Somebody on your team can do that. And you can keep those traditional proven things. I would never suggest stop writing handwritten notes. I would never suggest to stop doing client parties. You know what I'm saying? I love that stuff. I just think of those as layers that you want to keep layering on top. So I do see a big mistake people make is it's like, well, I don't want to stop doing everything that's guaranteed to work to go try something that might. I agree. Keep doing the stuff that you know works. Slowly add these other layers that work. The best advice I could give on this is simple. I'll let people use Facebook today. I can guarantee that you can get an appointment today through Facebook Messenger. And so that would be an example of like, it isn't that people don't want to talk anymore. It's that the sort of places, right? My buddy Steve Passanelli says, you've got a message, you've got a method, and then you've got a messenger, right? So the messenger is you. The message is you. The only thing that's new is the method. So like the method being handwritten versus Facebook message, or the method being email, not direct mail. So people shouldn't get too caught up in how things have changed. The message still requires your knowledge. You're still the messenger. The method where you deliver it is new. So like on Facebook Messenger, if you go on Facebook Messenger right now and you tell three people, hey, I'm working on something at work and I would love to pick your brain later today. Do you have 10 minutes? Question mark. Send. Do it again, question mark, send. You put three lines in the pond every morning, you'll reel in a fish every week. So that's prospecting for business. That's touching your past clients in sphere. That's staying top of mind. It's all the traditional stuff, but it's doing it in a new place. Like, and I'm sure you would agree with this, Grant, the reply rate and the speed with which you get a reply through a message on Facebook is like 20 times faster than email. Absolutely. So why wouldn't you do that? Same thing with texting. Like when you get a new lead that has a phone number, if you text them, they reply almost right away, almost every time. But if you only rely on a drip email, that bad boy might get a 30% open rate. You might be at 70% of people never even opening it. So just don't be romantic about the method. Be romantic about the message and be romantic about the messenger, because that stuff matters more than ever. But don't get so caught up on the method. Knocking on a door, knocking on messenger, sending print mail, sending email. It ain't that different.
I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's great. Great advice. You guys talk about putting out content for people, running ads for people. What type of content do you see today really creates engagement? Really, you know, an agent would ask, I think, when they say, okay, Chris, I'm bought in. I'm going to go message a bunch of people. on Facebook Messenger or mm-hmm. Instagram DM, mm-hmm. what do I say? Or I'm going to go put something on my social media. What should I say? What type of content do you guys see today that really creates a lot of engagement?
Yeah, there's several things you can do. One of the tips that comes to mind is what I call contrarian marketing. So as opposed to the Lego movie where everything is always awesome, you put a little bit of a negative spin on your marketing. So instead of saying, hey, home values are up, check yours here, you might say, hey, home values across the country are up, but that doesn't mean yours is.
Yeah. Okay.
You see what I'm saying? So little stuff like that. Like we had one that our marketers actually did recently where they basically said, hey, one of the marketers did a campaign and it was basically like tips that you can use to get your house ready for guests, right? So a lot of people are doing Super Bowl parties. That's one of the tips is, what is everybody already talking about? If everybody's putting on the bird box blindfold, put it on. If everybody's talking about the Super Bowl, it's called newsjacking. Like, what is already in the news? What are people already buzzing about? How can you create content like that? So we created one that was sort of like, hey, here's five ways you can get your house ready for your Super Bowl party. Mm-hmm. But I told the marketers, I said, why don't you do something more about like, these are the five things that are grossing out your guests. And by putting that little bit of a contrarian spin, we had about 2,400 link clicks for $100, 2.4 cents per click. That's the best we've ever gotten in an era where people are saying, oh, I'm not sure if Facebook works anymore. So to answer your question, what does the best right now? Right now, things with a lot of engagement that don't require registration. Those are the best by far. When you try to send somebody to a landing page every time, Facebook doesn't want to show it to as many people. When you have a post that gets a lot of link clicks, but not a lot of people like it or comment on it, Facebook doesn't want to show it to as many people. They've had some issues in the last year. And to counteract for them, they want better content with less registration forms. Now, on your site, there's tons of ways to register, right? Pop-ups and widgets and live chats and squeeze pages, but the content that we're finding doing the best right now as far as reach, clicks, and engagement is definitely like real content marketing. The other tip I would give people is if you do what I did, don't start by creating content for strangers. Start by creating content for your sphere and your past clients. Everybody listening to this hopefully already has some past clients and people in their sphere. The people in their sphere are going to have Super Bowl parties. They're going to want to know what to make at those parties. But that's not your traditional buyer and seller lead magnet, right? So that's another thing that we've been obsessing about is how can we create past client marketing? How can we create sphere of influence marketing, but do it in a digital way? Do it on a blog, do it in an email, do it in an ad, not necessarily just do it through the mail or do it through a phone call.
Absolutely. I think everybody's got to understand that the person that works with everyone works with no one. I think it's a quote that I like to put out there. It's, excuse me. It's really, really important to understand who you're actually going to go out there and do business with, because it makes it so much easier to create content for those people when you know that you like working with millennials that, you know, kick it down all the time and do business with local businesses. It's really easy to go down and interview a local business owner and create those different types of associations that come along when people are actually viewing your content and create somewhat of a syndicate with other local business people. But that's a great advice.
Well, let me give you one other. You made me think of something we did recently, because content can almost never be too niche, because the more niche it is, the more relevant it is to the person that it's right for. Mm-hmm. So like, as an example, we put out some content recently that was like, should you buy a home if you still owe money on your student loans? You know what I'm saying? That is such a unique, it's like, okay, I've been thinking about buying a home, but I still have student loans. How the hell are you not going to want to read that article?
Right.
Right. But normally people would be a little bit more wide. Hey, if you're buying a home, read this. So by cross segmenting it, hey, are you buying a home soon and you still have student loans and your credit's under 650, read this first.
Yes.
Anybody that check is going to read it. And that's actually who you're after. So you can qualify through copywriting. That's another tip that I give all the time. Mm-hmm. But make it niche. Like, if you're a millennial with a dog and you're buying a home this year, read this.
Right. Marketing is messaging. Like, marketing is 100% messaging. And so the more specific, the more niche that you can be in that message, the easier it becomes to distribute your message. So 100%.
Well, and especially if you're doing ads like we do, well, okay, so we know the message is for millennials that like dogs. Well, that's basically what you do when you choose your ad targeting. You choose age and you choose pets, right? So when you can take that messaging and then line it up, like there, I know one of the best ad targeting options in Facebook is, you know, people that just got engaged, you know, because that doesn't require third-party data. The only thing I need to know if you got engaged is you actually go in and switched. It's Facebook official, right? Yes. Engaged. And so if you're going to do an ad that says, hey, if you're getting married, if you just got engaged and you're looking for your dream home, but you don't want to break the bank, here's a couple options right now. So again, it's sort of like between the ad targeting and then the ability to create the content that's relevant to people, it really should be like a little bit creepier and a little bit more effective than ever.
So you said something a few minutes ago about how Facebook's really interested in higher engaging content, more engaging content, less people going off and opting into different third-party sites, which brings about the question of the topic rather of remarketing, retargeting, which is something I think we're coming into a world where every real estate agent, I believe, is like, okay, Facebook ads are it, right? I gotta try it. Try it, doesn't work. Or didn't work because of maybe not implementing something correctly. And now you look at some of the top tier marketers or the early adopters, you know, like you and I, that I think I could say that, right? We've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
That have been doing this and we're 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 steps ahead. If we were going to try to catch somebody up with us today and say, look, stop trying to get people to opt in everything.
Yeah.
Engage in content and use remarketing, retargeting. What would types of tips would you give those types of people?
Yeah. Well, it's being patient. I call it the realistic funnel. You know, you have to be realistic about what people are going to do. Like there's idealistic and realistic. And so we just live in reality because we do this all the time. So we understand that you're usually not going to run an ad and get a deal. And even if you do, it's a little bit of an anomaly. I think the main thing and part of the reason my book did so well is instead of saying top of funnel, middle funnel, bottom funnel, like I kind of recoined it. We call it magic million, right? That's everybody you want to work with at one point. Chunky middle, that's the people from the magic million that have engaged with your stuff. And then the sweet spot is the people that have engaged with certain stuff. So you're absolutely right. Retargeting and remarketing is critical. Here's a real world example. If you do a post that says, thumbs up if you love owning a home in Charlotte. Think how many people are going to hit thumbs up. Mm-hmm. And mostly I would hope, now there's always a few idiots out there, but you would hope that everybody that hit that owned a home. So now we know we have seller leads, right? Yep. But we didn't get them off Facebook. We didn't get their form. Well, there's a way to use people who engaged with a post as the next audience you target. So if I start with, hey, if you love owning your home in Charlotte, hit thumbs up. All that is doing is building an audience for the next campaign I run, which says, are you going to sell your Charlotte home this year? Da, 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 da. So like you can, what's beautiful about this, Grant, is you can move people through your funnel without ever getting them to register. Somebody visiting your website can create more ads. Somebody liking an IG post or watching a video can create more ads. Now, when they do become a lead, when they do give you their email or their phone number, well, you can also retarget them, right, through uploading a custom list to Facebook. So I think Jimmy, my co-founder, he looked it up the other day, is the average consumer interacts with your brand about 8 times before they actually reach out to you. So the reason Facebook ads don't work for most people is because they are one and done.
Right.
They're either too cheap or they don't have the discipline and the long-term thinking. It's almost like this. Here's how we break it down for people. Do you think your business is going to grow faster with or without marketing? Okay, that's an easy one. Okay, do you think that your marketing will be better with or without help? Okay, so you have to trust that marketing works, and it's always been challenging, Grant, to track it and to trace it. It's hard for these Super Bowl ads and for these companies to go, wow, we spent $20 million and we got this many leads. And of those leads, this many bought. That's hard for everybody. But you have to take a step back and say, is my business better off with or without marketing? Mm-hmm. Okay, with marketing. Okay, should the marketing be great? Probably. Is it going to be great if you do it? Well, maybe not. That's why you go to a Facebook group and get an idea. You watch a podcast like this and get an idea. You read a book and get an idea. So I just think fundamentally people have to redefine success. You know, if you're going to sit there and count every penny, you're going to end up with a lot of pennies.
Love it. Like, I love what you're dropping today. This is good stuff.
Yeah, that one might have to make the gram right there. But seriously, it's like
somebody
write that down. People trip over pennies. People trip over nickels to pick up pennies, right? Yep. And I saw Gary Vee speak years ago, like 2009, he was at REMAX. And a lady stood up and she said, "Gary, I tried Twitter. It didn't work." She said, "Ma'am, what did you do?" She said, "I tweeted." He's like, "And what do you mean?" She's like, I created an account and I sent a tweet and nothing happened. She's like, "So I quit." He's like, "Ma'am, I need you to try things 3 times, not once," right? You have to be realistic. Like, has any like one meal that you ate caused you to gain weight or lose weight? Is any one exercise going to get you in shape? Is any one nice thing for your wife going to make you a good husband? Is any one nice thing for your kids going to make you a good dad? No. It's repeated actions over time that create excellence.
You're talking about redefining success. Do you think that we're living in a time now where we, in some instances, should be looking at reclassifying what we consider a lead? Because I understood what you're talking about, you know, guiding people through an experience. A like, in my opinion, is absolutely a lead. It's an opportunity to reach out, further engage with people. But I don't think everybody else is still stuck in the Zillow age of, I need a name, an email address, a phone number, a physical address, blood type. I need to know if they're an organ donor. I need to know all these different types of things about these people where I classify them as an opportunity. What do you think going through the mindset of a lot of agents right now and could be enhanced the way that we look at marketing today?
Well, what you're talking about, Grant, is they want all layups.
Right.
And that's what everybody wants.
Right.
But you got to make some free throws. You got to make some three-pointers. You got to go set some screens. You got to call the right play. You know what I'm saying? Layups are a byproduct of your actions. So, like, and by the way, we have clients that come on board. We run their first campaign. They get a few deals from it. It can happen, but that's mindset. If I ask my team, what's the difference between your clients that are successful and your clients that aren't? It's not us. We do the same thing. It's them. It's their mindset. It's their expectation. So, yeah, I would say, like, count the beans, but count the right beans. You know what I'm saying? You mentioned earlier you have 45,000 people or something on your email list, something like that. You and I both know those aren't all leads for your services. You're not sitting here thinking, how am I going to convert 10% of those? It might be nice, 4,500 sales, but you're more realistic than that. So here's one way people can do this. Like, you're right. If you don't think a like on a post like I mentioned is a lead, then don't do that. Just go for the right hooks. But then people dodge them. That's why Gary Vee called his book that, because if all you do is throw right hooks, people get tired of it. People get bored with it. So that's where the creativity, you know, has to kind of come into play. But yeah, like when we do retargeting, as an example, we don't retarget our whole website. We retarget people that read reviews or the sales page, or they clicked contact but backed out. So, cause we get like 100,000 page views a month. We get like 40, 50,000 people a month on our site. And we have a very specific product. We're not for everybody. Think about if you're a real estate agent. Out of 100% of the people that you know, 93% or more ain't doing shit this year. So you could keep pretending they all are, and you can keep pretending they all want the bait that you're putting on your hook, but they get blinded to it if they're not doing a deal. So, like, as an example, when we retarget our database, we don't retarget the whole database. We retarget the people that are in the stage hot or pending. And so we're doing way less retargeting. That's way more effective. Right. So I think it's really about, like, you got two ways to go at it. Part one, go after the top of the funnel, drive as much traffic, as much engagement as you can, and trust the process, like the Sixers, right? Trust the process. The other thing is, if you don't trust the process, just do all your stuff at the bottom. Go after the folks that are super duper hot, engaged, et cetera.
A second ago, you mentioned that a big difference in the people that come in, get deals right now, is mindset. I would add as well, in my opinion, based on what I've seen and some of our own experiences, that another huge key difference is people that have documented, well thought out sales processes, ways that they follow up with leads, and those that don't. And I know you're an expert on some of this, so you add some value here to somebody around sales processes. What should they be doing when a lead comes in?
Well, they have to understand that the fortune is in the follow-up. It's easy to get a lead, but you can't trick people into working with you. You can only trick them into registering. And so at that point, the real work begins. That's why my book went viral, because I talked about, okay, you got a lead, now what? And a couple of the best practices, one is speed. If you follow up within 5 minutes compared to 30, you have a 100x better chance at contact. So a lot of real estate agents, they like time block their follow-up for like 4 to 6 p.m. or something, or they follow up every morning with all the leads that came in from yesterday. That's not the world we live in. People have a microwave mindset, and you have to follow up with them in 30 seconds, 60 seconds. Like, you can't be following up with people in 30 minutes. It's not an oven. It's a microwave, okay? So that's part of it. The other part of it, though, is tenacity. You can't be a wimp. You can't follow up once and get your feelings hurt that they didn't pick up. Like, the contact rate goes to like 93% if you follow up six times instead of once. So you can do that on the phone. You can do that through drip emails. You can do that through text message if you happen to have their phone number. But basically, people don't follow up fast enough or often enough. And then the last piece of it, Grant, is they don't know what to say.
Yeah.
They don't know exactly what to say, even when the lead picks up. And this is why I love what I teach, because I know you teach a lot of marketing and a lot of Facebook stuff, and you're great at it. But the reality is, like, people that listen to your advice and that do your programs and that follow you, they suck once they pick up the phone. And I was able to prove that. We took some of the top agents in the world and put them on a program called Pitch Fest. We did a thing in our mastermind called Grade My Pitch. And it's amazing what happens when you go ring, ring, ring. Hi, this is Chris. How can I help you? Man, they freeze, Grant. They don't know what to say. They don't know when to say it, how to say it. So what we teach and what I teach is just a framework. Oh, hey, this is Judy. I'm calling from Remax about the home that you found over on Main Street that's listed for $800,000. Can you please grab a pen and paper? I have some additional information about that property that's not on the internet. Let me know when you're ready. Like, just having that framework. Like, we work with this guy, Phil Jones. He's got a great book called Exactly What to Say. And the way he words it is, the worst time to figure out what to say is while you're saying it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of people that they don't think lead conversion is easy, but then they wing it. They think that, like, leads suck, but then they suck. So you have to take those variables out for you to truly gauge it. So yeah, like, our teams with ISAs that are trained on phone scripts, that understand internet leads are 95 shitty, 5 good, they kill it. But if you've just been working your past clients and you've just been calling your freaking sphere and talking to them all the time, like, guess what? At a certain point, that's easier. So people want to go back to the easy things. Like, walking is easier than running. You know what I'm saying? I see a lot of people walking. I don't see as many people running. So I think that's part of it is, if you've been doing this for 20 years, Grant, and everybody you talk to, you kind of know, or they're a friend of a friend, and then all of a sudden you go get in the boiler room and you call 100 leads that don't know you, you would want to quit too. You would want to go back to the easy method. But the easy method has a glass ceiling. Every client we talk to, they can't break through online without help. They've got the business they've got, the reputation they've got, the referrals they've got, the systems they've got. But why are we growing so fast? Because they want more. And they know that if I'm going to build my business online, it might take a lot of the same energy and effort and hustle and strategy that it took to grow it offline. For some reason, as soon as it's the internet, we think it should work instantly. But if it's real life, we understand that it takes time. Right. I don't get that.
I don't either, for sure. Now, not too long ago, you came out with a product as an aside or an attachment to Curated, right, called Converted. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, here's the thing. When you're doing blogs and when you're doing content marketing and email marketing, now you got another problem. Who do I focus on? So kind of like earlier, I'm like, we have, you know, you said you have 45,000. We have something like about the same. Well, how do I tell the sales team who to call today? Because that's all that really matters. Right. Who do I call right now and why and what do I say? So we built a really cool tool. So like, if you want to go from a blog post to business, if you want to go from a page to a person in your car, all you do is you go to a curator site and you go to the domain. Let's say it's your testimonials page. So curator.com/testimonials. If my sales guy wants to follow up with just the people that read those, all he has to do is put /convert at the end of the domain. And what that does, it goes all the way in the CRM, which is a nightmare usually, because I used to teach it, and it just grabs the 17 people that read the reviews and gives them to the sales guy. Or let's say the marketing team, like we put out a great post. People should check it out, curator.com/listings. It's the 19 fastest ways to get listings in 2019, curator.com/listings. Well, my sales guys don't care about every visitor to that page, but the leads they already spoke to, that they already marked hot, that they're following and tracking, when one of those goes to the page, they want this bell to ring. You know what I'm saying? They want alarms to start going off. They want everybody at the company to let them know that just happened. So that's what convert is for. When you have a lot of people in your database, it can become really frustrating to figure out who to follow up with and why. And so we just thought, you know what? Instead of logging into a CRM, instead of going in through all these stages and tags and notes and sources, what if I could just go to my website, pick a page that I agree, like if you would agree that anybody that read this page is worth talking to, put /convert and start dialing. It's a cool technology. I'm really proud of it.
Yeah, that is cool. That's really sick for sure. And it sounds like, you know, the best thing if, as an agent listening to this, care more about the quality of the experience you're providing, which, you know, if you do some of the stuff that Chris was just talking about, that's really taking an interest in the quality of an experience and watching people as they're going through that instead of leads. Like, more leads are not going to solve your problem, especially if you're not able to convert 1-3% or 1-15%, whatever your metrics look like of those leads. If you can worry about creating a better experience and intentionally getting less leads while you're crafting that better experience, I think you're far better served. What do you think?
Everybody wants that. We say stop chasing ambulances and start being the doctor.
Yeah.
Like, the doctor doesn't chase the ambulance, the lawyers do, right? And so if you're constantly chasing business, you're missing out on attracting business, because everybody just wants people that are ready to buy. Mm-hmm. Well, if your website and your marketing and your strategies don't create that, you don't get layups. You're kind of, think of it as, like I always tell my team, think of it as a football field, right? They got the Super Bowl coming up. In a perfect world, we want the leads in the red zone when we talk to them. See what I'm saying? They're already halfway down the field. They're already ready to buy. Those are the ones you want. What you don't want to have to do is go from the 1 yard line all the way 100 yards. That's when it's incredibly difficult. So let your marketing do some of the selling. Let your marketing do some of the nurturing. Let your actual ads and emails and blogs warm up the lead. Because if the only place you're ever contacting the leads is on the phone, you're basically calling them all in the place that they don't want to be contacted. So you're right. You let your marketing, we call it like, let your website be your best salesperson. Would someone hire you sight unseen if they just went to your website for 5 or 10 minutes? And for most people on the seller side, the answer is no. Mm-hmm. On the buyer side, everybody has IDX. But everybody has a shittier version of IDX than Zillow. Everybody has a worse version of IDX than Trulia. Everybody has a not as good version of IDX as Redfin. So on the buyer side, even if you have IDX, you're not going to stand out because the portals have a better one. So on the seller side is where we think people can win. You know, really things like how we do marketing, our services, you know, the equivalent of like getting that listing presentation on the internet.
Great advice. Great advice. Great advice. Man, I know we're nearing the end of our time here. I think probably running a little over it a little bit, but if I was an agent and I came to you and said, all right, Chris, I'm all on, man. I'm all on board. How can you help me? What can you do to help me grow my business in 2019? What action should they take?
Yeah, I think that I've been thinking a lot about this. Like, obviously we believe in the framework of cabbing. So if you can create a piece of content, run an ad and send an email every week, you're going to be in the like 98th percentile of real estate agents, because so many of them don't execute. So it's creating great content, running great ads, and sending great emails. If that's at the heart of your strategy, you're going to have a great year. But what I think's happened, and I've been watching the industry a lot lately, the biggest impact on an agent's business this year is actually going to be fear. Mm. They're afraid Facebook's not going to work. They're afraid that Compass is going to come into their market and take their business. They're afraid that the market's going to collapse if the president gets impeached. They're afraid that they shouldn't be at Keller Williams anymore. Should they be going to EXP, or should they be at Remax, or should they be a boutique? And what happens is, when you're afraid, you're not focused. Mm-hmm. And when you're not focused, you're not executing. And so I would advise everybody on this call to, like, figure out what you're doing this year and then go do it. Because the more those decisions are in limbo, like, should I really be working here? Is the market going to collapse? Is Facebook going to go away? Like, the more you're thinking about that, the less you're working. The reason people like the future, Grant, is because the future is an excuse not to work today.
Mm-hmm. You should get one of those fake microphones that you can drop after you drop some heat that.
I wish, if I trusted my phone case a little more, that's, I would awesome, drop it. Man. I like that. That's a good idea, Matt. We need
Put that on the list.
I can just do mic drops every now and then.
Man, thank you so much for dropping by today. I really appreciate it. You're a legend in the space, and we really appreciate the content you put out there and the value you provide to the consumers. You have an amazing business, and you are an innovator. So thank you
again
for jumping by. What is one way that somebody should reach out to you, contact you, if they listen to this and they want to learn more about you?
Yeah, I mean, the best thing to do is just send me an email, chris@curator.com. Obviously, people can go to our site. I'm a little harder to find on social because my name is so boring, Chris Smith. But you can go to theconversioncode.com. That'll bring up my book. You can go to curator.com, learn more about what we do, or you can just email me directly, chris@curator.com. That's curator.com.
Awesome. We'll make sure that we link that in the show notes, guys. We appreciate you sitting on here and listening to some absolutely amazing, amazing value you should go and immediately implement in your business. We will see you guys on the next episode of the Marketing Genius Podcast. Peace. Thank you guys so much for tuning into the Marketing Genius Podcast. We hope you got a ton of value from the show today. Make sure that you rate us on iTunes and Google Play, and we will look forward to seeing you on the next episode.